You're listening to a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada.
Hey there, I want to invite you back towards the seat. We're going to be continuing with our series today called Pillars for Life. And we will be in Hebrews chapter 10 today. And the focus of this series is talking about the main things, the foundational, the directional things that provide us with a firm foundation, that keep us upright, that keep us standing firm when the world is shaking. And some of the things that we have talked about and the kind of things I'm focusing on are talking about God's Word and Scripture and the wisdom we gain from those. It's not just being able to remember teachings that we would hear, but also how do we live this out? It does us no good to accumulate knowledge unless you're going to be competing in a Trivial Pursuit competition in a Bible area. I mean, when Jeopardy comes on and you know all the questions in the Bible category, that's really fun. It doesn't do anything to help us living in our relationship with Jesus if it doesn't show up in our kindness and our compassion, in our consistency, in our faithfulness, and the way we act and the way that we live. And so today we are... The pillar that we are focusing on, the reason this is a pillar, as we're talking about the need for each other and the fact that we're better together, is that Christianity, though, you know, you may hear stories about people who are very isolated and they're living for Jesus and amidst all sorts of persecution, there's no one else around them. What that actually, that's actually the, it's not the norm, it's more the exception. The thing that is the normal part is that we need each other, we need to be involved in each other's lives, and there is something that happens when we engage in fellowship, okay? Fellowship, when I was growing up, was a word that I didn't know what it meant, and it was weird, and then Peter Jackson took the Lord of the Rings and turned it into three different movies for a great deal of expense on his part, but also a phenomenal picture. In the Fellowship of the Rings, anybody familiar with the book, The Lord of the Rings? Yes. Anybody ever seen any of the Lord of the Rings movies? Okay, we're doing good. Okay, I can do this. I can use this analogy today. When, what's the elf's name in the main, no, the main elf who's going to send them on their quest. Do we remember? We want to, no. Elrond, yes, there we go. See, let's go back into our Lord of the Rings trivia. Who is Elrond for 500? Elrond is gathering dwarves and men and these elves and hobbits, and they're all gathered for the purpose of carrying out this, the destruction of this one ring that was formed by the Dark One, Sauron. And this ring is supposedly this the center of all that is evil, and they need to destroy it. But by themselves, they can't do it. So Elrond sends out a group, or as he liked to call it, a fellowship of the ring. And the fellowship is made up of hobbits, it's made up of a dwarf, it's made up of a couple of dudes, it's made up of one elf, and it's made up of someone known as Gandalf, who's actually of the race of the Ishtari, which is way down the nerd little hole over there. But he's the one who was like their guide. But in and of themselves, they had nothing in common except for their focus, except for their quest. This is why they're gathered. And it's a good picture of fellowship for this. When a people of a church gather together, we are not gathering along political, along sports, along music, along anything. Our main focus is Jesus Christ. And we will see a vast variety of Reno Sparks and the outer areas coming together, rallying around Jesus. And we will see people that we would never have interacted with or connected with apart from Jesus coming together and fellowshipping together. If you're hanging out with your friends and spending time with people who are a lot like you and who that you connected with over an activity or something like that, that's good and that's something that's significant. But real fellowship only happens when we get together with people that are different than us in the name of Jesus. And yeah, you're going to come across people who are similar, that you have similar values with, but the main thing is that we're gathered here around Jesus, not around the 49ers or the Raiders or the color blue or my favorite color, the color grayish black. Is that a real color? It is today. The more we can keep in mind that fellowship is that, we can avoid what can often rise up inside any group of people, which is a gathering of people who are the same and they reject people who aren't like them. Okay? That's where, you ever heard the word click? Click is junior high. Okay? My first day of junior high, I was supposed to go to one school. I got a variance to go to another school. And at the other school, my elementary school, I fit in. I was considered normal at the other school. I don't know if there was like, we didn't wear uniforms, but we all had a uniform, if you know what I'm saying. Everybody wore pretty much the same. This is what we look like. And then going to the other school, they had a different uniform than I did. And my first day, I can remember showing up and people are hanging out. I wanted to go up and just kind of talk to people. And I was even, there's people from church who were at the school. So I thought, those people are going to be safe. My first lesson in what happens with, you run into church people outside church. And I went up and this one kid said, I can't stand next to you because you're not wearing the right uniform. She said something different about my shirt, but it was rude and I don't want to repeat it. But it was like, you can't do that. You're just not going to fit. And churches, we'd say, we would never. May we never be a collection of friendly strangers that don't welcome or receive people. And if we do not each take responsibility to make people feel welcome, we run the risk of turning into something where we only receive people like ourselves or the people we've already connected to. There are empty seats here because there is always room for people to come, and it is our responsibility as the body of Christ to receive them. That is what we do. The tables that we often would share up in the front, which now we drop at your chairs, we're exploring very soon going back to our communion line where we've got the communion up front on either side. And one of the main reasons we have the communion line is for people to commune as they come on up and interact with each other and connect with each other. And when we do this, it's because we're gathering around Jesus and his purposes and his plans for us, and we're receiving people. The table that Jake was talking about this morning is a table of grace. What does it take for a person to be able to receive communion here? Go back a week or two when Danae was sharing about communion. We are called to examine ourselves and not receive in an unworthy manner, but anyone who wants to receive communion can. There is no hoop to jump through. There is no bar that has to be jumped over. It is simply, will you call upon the grace of Christ for yourself? Yes, you can receive. And we will receive you. Let's intentionally look to think this is more, and please take this in the heart in which it's meant, and you too. Think, what would Joni do if someone who they didn't recognize came to Hillside? I have heard more when I first met Joni stories at Hillside than any, I mean, it'll more than 32 years worth, I'll tell you that. All of us have the mission and the ministry of hospitality, and that is keeping our eyes open to be reaching. Well, I'm an introvert, so I don't know how to do that. Well, welcome to my club. We're all introverts. Let's do it anyway, okay? Because do you think Jesus enjoyed spending time with people all the time? No, we know he didn't. You know how we know? Because early in the morning, while it was still dark, he'd go get away by himself. Why did he do that? For sanity, for time with God, for just being able to be and enjoy the sunrise as it rose with his cup of, I don't know if it was tea, but it was his Galilee brew, whatever it was in the mornings. So we're talking about fellowship. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 24. And I would like you, as we're listening to this, years and years ago, the pastor who appointed me to come here, his name was Robbie Booth. He was my supervisor for many years, a dear friend. He said, there's going to be times when you are teaching and when you are speaking to people one-on-one and when you're interacting with your congregation, that you will be directional with them. Make sure that directional or the speaking pointedly is coming out of a place of relationship and coming out of a place of care and love. Don't ever put yourself in a spot where you are above people and pointing a finger and saying, y'all need to do this. Make sure that you're inviting people to join you in what's happening. But as a pastor, there are times where you get to invite people to something that they have not already got to. Kind of mirroring Jesus in Psalm 23, when it talks about how the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. As I follow Christ, I want to help lead us and invite you to do the same. Follow me as I follow him. Okay, can we do that? Okay, hopefully that makes sense. And this doesn't mean I'm going to start dropping hammers and lightning bolts are going to start flying from the sky, unless there was an installation, Katie, that I didn't know about yesterday. No lightning bolts? Okay, all right. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from the guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. In this passage, you're going to hear several let us's. And you're going to hear about let us draw near to God. Let us hold on to our hope. And let us spur each other on to love and good deeds. We're going to start with let us draw near. The entire book of Hebrews is a masterful letter that's written by people who really understand the Hebrew religion and the Hebrew processes for engaging with God. And the whole point of the book kind of comes to a point in this particular spot. Therefore, because of everything that we've learned, because of what Christ has done to make it so that anyone who would call upon the name of the Lord can be saved, anybody who wants to be in relationship with God can do so through Jesus. Therefore, because of the things that we just covered are all true, since Christ paid for our sins, we can enter the most holy place. The Jews, when they were practicing their religion, would only send the highest priest into the most holy place, representing God's presence. And that would only happen once a year and only with the sacrifice having been made and blood being on their ear and on their right thumb and on their big toe. And blood has been sprinkled everywhere to pay for their sins. Because of what Christ has done, we can all enter God's presence. We can know that because Jesus has paved a way, he's paid for our sins, he's covered all of our wrongs, he is our priest who has interceded before God on our behalf, we can then draw near to God, not running away, not being far away, but staying close to him with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith. You don't have to feel like you're coming to God by the skin of your teeth. You're coming because of what Jesus has done, and therefore you can come boldly before him. With your heart sprinkled clean means our sins are forgiven. We've been made clean and pure and forgiven, made new on the inside. Bodies washed with water. It says you've been baptized, and that baptism means you've been brought into and acknowledged within the family of God. And as you do this, you're coming into the presence of God. How are we called to come into the presence of God? I'm glad you asked, because we covered this in our first week. Micah chapter 6, verse 8, with clean hands, pure hearts, not lifting up our souls to idols. That's what it takes to come before the presence of God because of Christ. We come to him, confessing our sins, laying those things down, keeping our heart open, dedicated to him, and not looking to anything or anyone to be a substitute God in any way, shape, or form for our lives. So we draw near. Number two, we hold on to our hope. I love in the New International Version, it says, hold on unswervingly. And while I'm not much of an outdoor person, there were times in my life where I've spent time outdoors, and some of the most fun and closest to drowning that I've ever been has been on the back of someone's boat, and not on water skis, though I did get drowned on water skis before. That wasn't as fun, but on like a little tube. Have you ever been on a tube behind a boat? Okay, so you're on a tube behind the boat, and the boat is going, and you give them the thumbs up, and that means the person driving the boat gets to be Mario Andretti, or you know, pick your favorite speed car or NASCAR racer or a Formula One racer or anybody like that, and he would punch it, and then you go, and the whole point, the person who's driving the boat is trying to go fast enough and go over the wake enough that the person on the tube is going to be thrown into the hands of Jesus as they go and they're bouncing. And there's times where you're holding on to that. I can remember I'm holding on and I've fallen off and I've got a
a life grip on the tube, and I'm underwater, but I'm holding on to it. And later on, I heard everybody was saying, just let go, just let go. But I was holding on because they said, you got to hold on tight. And I was holding on. And I'm underwater, and at some point they stop the boat and they're checking to make sure I'm breathing and coming out. Can I go again? You know, it was, it's the picture of holding unswervingly. It's regardless of what's happening in life, we're holding on tightly to the hope that we have, that we profess in Christ, because he is faithful. This scripture over here that says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever is not merely a decoration, it is a declaration that says because of who he is and what he's done, we can hold on to our hope that even when things are shaking, we can know he is not going to let us down. We can believe in him. We can rely upon him because he keeps his promises. And our God is a sure thing, even when, or especially when, it does not make sense to us. When everything else, it seems like all the rules and normal in the world has been turned upside down, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay. Number three, let us spur one another on to love and good deeds. This is one of the most important things that we can do as a person who follows Christ, is to consider or think about different ways to encourage each other towards love each other, towards kindness, which is love in action, and towards doing good deeds. Good deeds do not save us, but they are evidence that we belong to Jesus. Okay? How can we spur each other on towards love and good deeds? It's one thing to antagonize people, but can we antagonize them towards doing what is good? Can we antagonize them towards doing things that are loving? Every single let us in this passage of five or six verses deals with us depending, coming into the presence of God and holding on to Christ and then encouraging others to be doing the same. Every declaration that we're coming across is significant and it builds on each other, and we are to be encouraging one another and helping other people to do so. One of the spiritual gifts that shows up in the scriptures, and there's different lists in different places. There's some in Romans, there's in 1 Corinthians, Ephesians has a couple, but they'll talk about the gift of encouragement or exhortation. And the gift of encouragement is to give courage to another, to take the words or presence of another person and to allow that to be something that gives us gas in our tank to keep going forward. We need each other. This last week, I received a very encouraging text from Matt Emmons, and this happens on a regular basis. He's one of those type of people who just encourages people, and he does it by text. He probably does it randomly in person too. I mean, it's really one of those things where it's like, Matt again, he's encouraging me, and it's not received in that way at all. You get something like that, and you're automatically 8 pounds lighter and 3 inches tall. It's just like everything's better because God has spoken through someone else's actions and their words to you, and it builds you up, and it gives you courage. In this particular text that he said, it talks about how there was a study that was done on pain tolerance. And who decided to do this? I have no idea. But they made this water supremely icy cold. And they got volunteers who would put their feet into the water. And they found that the people would be able to hold their feet in the water when it's just them in the room for a set period of time. And then they'd pull it out and they'd be freezing and cold, and it's exactly what you would expect. It's just not fun. So people who take ice baths, it's like, yeah, this is wonderful. It's exhilarating. It's like, okay, I'll take a warm bath. So, but the next part of this is when someone would come into the room and sit with the individual who had their feet in the tub. They didn't put their feet in there too, but when they came and they sat with them and they were present with them and they were talking with them and they were engaging with them, the person with their feet in the water was able to withstand the temperature and keep their feet in double the amount of time that they could when they were by themselves. Repeated over and over and over and over and over. We need each other. and we are stronger when we are together. When we are isolated, when we are alone, we are weaker, we are frailer, our immune systems don't work as good. We look at this, and we look at the scripture, and even back then, the writers of the Hebrews are saying, let us continue to spur one another on towards good deeds and to love one another. We are better together. In this passage, we get the passage that says, don't give up meeting together as some have made it a habit. Encourage one another more and more as the day approaches. Throughout the scripture, the theme of aloneness versus relationship versus community are major, major themes. A couple different verses I want to look at. Genesis chapter 2. Adam has been appointed to tend the Garden of Eden. He is the only human around. There's animals galore. There's an incredible bounty. It makes Kauai, the garden island of Hawaii, look like a desert. It's just beautiful. It's an incredible place to be. But Adam is sad and he is dissatisfied because there is no one like him. And God says, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. In order for Adam to experience wholeness, he needed to have the helper who would be with him and partner with him in what he was doing. And it's not just about this, he needed a wife. Then you start getting into the weirdness of, well, if you're not married, you're missing God's best. Well, then Jesus missed God's best. Come on, people, let's not go down that road. It's about the community aspect. This is what is being talked about here. Next passage. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, the wisest man of all writes this and says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If any of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. As in this passage of Ecclesiastes, the wise man, the one who is looking at this, he sees this truth and says, two is better than one. We need each other. There is a synergy that happens when we are with others. And I love the passage where it says, you know, when two lay down, how can one keep warm? And I can, you know, from my experience, it means one of them puts their feet on the other person and warms their feet up. Joni. Yeah. How does this work? The power of synergy says the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. We need each other. We are better for having each other. And that includes our families. That includes our friends, chosen family, community, this. And I talked a little bit at the very beginning about fellowship and the fellowship of the ring. And I come back to this passage. I've had this passage that has surfaced over and over again throughout 2020 and into 2021 from verse 25. Don't give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. And in 2020, I don't know if you know this, but we had a disruption worldwide. Anybody experienced disruption worldwide? Okay, there's people who were not aware of this. It's true. But there's a disruption that happened worldwide. And when you start throwing around words like pandemic and just even in the United States, 500,000 people dying directly related to this new take on a funky virus, there's a lot of really bizarre ways that people chose to try and deal with this. And governments around the world and states and federal governments and countries are wrestling and trying to figure out, what do we do? And so I'm going to throw this out there, and I'm not going to ask for feedback on it yet, but in 2020, we moved largely, you know, let me go back a little bit further. Up until probably 2015 or so, Hillside had no online presence. We had a website, but there was no way you could watch our services because I couldn't think, why would we need to watch services? If I was watching services, I wouldn't want to watch me. And if all you want to do is watch services, there's a lot of really good services that you could watch. Is this, have anybody's thinking besides me? Okay, so there is a very dear family who was having some challenges with their child, specifically with environmental things where there would be environmental triggers, different smells or loud sounds that would really cause them to have a lot of out, what do you call that, acting out. And so we, you know, brought in the experts and decided we're going to move into the online world. And so we co-opted an iPhone 6 and we stuck it in the back on a little tripod. And it's this little have to go like this to see straight. And we would just broadcast our services in that way. Technology, man. I'm online. Yeah. Over time, we've had incredible people in our worship and creative arts departments who really have done such a phenomenal job preparing us so that when in 2020, when we could not meet more than 10 people at a time, or we're strongly challenged not to do so, we had had a team that had prepared to develop an online delivery system that would allow people to watch and to participate wherever they happen to be in the Reno area, but also worldwide if they wanted to. And it's been a phenomenal thing. But when you think about it, the question I wanted to throw out there, and this is not for you to answer out loud, but just to think on, why did we give up meeting together in 2020? I wrote down a list of things, and there's probably more to this. Aliens and conspiracy theories do not come into my list here. Cole, would you like to be the person that receives conspiracy? Oh, never mind. The pandemic, threat of severe sickness, statewide or local restrictions for gatherings, mask mandates, and the discussion, do masks do anything? Interesting. And, you know, still asking the question, why did people give up meeting together? Fear, anxiety, introversion, online services are available, convenience or ease, new habits. It sure beats the heck out of getting up in the morning and getting ready when all I have to do is sit up, pull out my phone or pull out my tablet or cast it onto the screen and I can be there with y'all. You know, you send me to go to my communion, I'm just leaning over, grabbing my morning coffee and my sweet roll. There's lots of reasons why. And this isn't the time where I say, and let me tell you, which one of those are valid? This is my decree from what? That's not it. With what I was talking about earlier, it's better, we're better together, and there's a synergy when we are together, and we are to be spurring one another on towards love and good deeds. And the instruction we're given in Hebrews chapter 10 is, don't give up meeting together, as some have been in the habit of doing. I don't think Paul and the other potential writers of the Hebrews are thinking down the road, now let's just make sure that everybody feels guilty to go to church. We want to make sure that their butts are in the proverbial seats, okay? And not comfortable ones. Okay, let's make them like old suitcases. Yeah, that's what we want to have. In case you're wondering. No, it's not that. The writers of Hebrews are wanting to encourage us to be mindful about staying connected to each other. The word for don't give up meeting together is a really cool Greek word that means like Christians would gather and assemble. Don't stop assembling together, all right? In gathering for fellowship, in gathering for, I think we have come through in the last year all sorts of very real challenges, and some of the challenges, I know this personally, when you have not been around people and you've been told over and over and over again for months that being around people is dangerous and you come in contact or come up face to face or mask to mask or 8 feet or 6 feet or up close and personal at, you know, Home Depot with another person, it can mess with your head. Anybody besides me, it messed with you. Okay, there's like four of us in the room who are raising it. Okay, it messed. All the mental health professionals are raising their hand. No. It's not like you just turn it off, okay? The only thing similar I've ever experienced, and please, this is not meant to be funny, when you've lived your entire life believing sex is for marriage, sex is for marriage, sex is for marriage, and you wait until you get married, and then you get married, and now it's okay, and now it's okay, and now it's okay. There's still this, I know it's okay, and I have every right to be able to do this, but there's still this thing in me that is like, I know I'm not supposed, I feel bad, it's guilt, I feel weird, am I supposed to be doing this? I'm talking to somebody without a mask on. It messes with us. And what I want to do is not to provoke you towards antagonism or separation or finger pointing and why is this happening? This is silly. Romans 13 is still in our Bible. The authorities that we have been appointed by God. Do they do their job right? Wait till you're one of them. With the same measure that we judge our authorities. It's like, well, I'm never going to be president. No, but you might be president of your house. You think the same type of energy that you spend directing towards authority figures in your life and what they've done, right or wrong, could have an effect on how you functioning in your own authority, within your own realm of authority, might function? Scripture says, yeah. Whatever we sow, we will reap. So it's super important whether we agree with those or not. And whether, because I never went through, you know what I want for Christmas this year? I want a really cool mask. I never said that. There's so many times I never thought that. Ever. You know what I really would like to have? I'd like to have a KN95. One of those ones that kind of doesn't touch my nose and I can accessorize. It's black. It's not white, but it's black and I can accessorize. Nah, never. But regardless of the junk and all the stuff and vaccination and coming back together, all this stuff, the challenge that we have as the church is to spur one another on to love and good deeds and not give up meeting together as some have gotten in the habit of doing for whatever reason they have. This does not just mean coming to church, but it does mean, because by the way, stepping off over here a little bit, we could be in an area and in a time where the church in America could begin to experience what the church worldwide has experienced for many years. And if that's the case, this is the least of our worries. Therefore, he throws down the mask with anger. I hate you. And then he hated it. He spoke to it like it was real. Is he going to talk to himself the entire rest of the message? I do love Jim Gaffigan. Yeah. At Hillside, we have attempted to build a people who realize that what we do inside this building is significant and important, but that the real church is us out and about living and loving and caring for people. Are we doing that? And where are we doing that? If we're waiting for it to come down from on high, from pastor or from, you know, so on, it may not happen. But every single one of us can take responsibility to have meaningful connection and fellowship with the people who are in our life, who we can be connecting with, who we can be extending ourselves to spur one another on towards good deeds and towards fellowship. Right now, we are able to show our services online. They're currently on Facebook and on YouTube. Both of these platforms have a history of pulling content that they disagree with and that they do not like. It would not be a surprise if our streams were and our ability to live stream were taken away. What are we going to do to be a church where that doesn't stop the message from getting out? How will we live in our local area, in our neighborhoods, in our jobs, and with people that we come in contact with the people that we know from church, with the people that we're connected to? How will we interact with them to keep the message of Jesus going out? Persecution in China has only caused the church in China to flourish amidst great pain, suffering, and death. Do I want that? It says it's going to happen. And sometimes I've heard people say, well, you know, people tell us we can't go to church without this or without that, or we have to be 6 feet apart. That's persecution. And it's like, actually, I think persecution comes more with like swords and guns and heads coming off. And that's persecution. The other stuff's inconvenience. When we think about it. People in the early church were given the opportunity, renounce Christ and live. And not just live, but live a blessed life from your emperor. Or refuse to renounce Christ and become a candle in the Colosseum. Become lion fodder in the Colosseum. become a person who will just see how much torture a human being can actually take. And for love of their Savior and commitment to their community, to a person, men, women, and children gave their lives to continue meeting together in some way, shape, or form, encouraging one another in kindness and love and good deeds, all the more as the day is coming. And when I just want to give you some good news here in case you're thinking, oh, goodness, what was happening? The day is capitalized here in Hebrews chapter 10 because the day that is coming is Jesus is returning. And every day we get closer to his return, the system of this world that does not appreciate or desire or want the lordship of Jesus will oppose it. And there's an opportunity for us to align ourselves with Christ, not to become a stench to the world just because we want to be morons, but to be people who live dedicated to Christ above all else. And that means we're loving each other and loving people and being kind and compassionate to people no matter what they're like, because it's the love of Christ lived out and active through us that's going to make a difference, that's going to draw people to Christ. It is the grace of God that brings people to him by faith so they can receive salvation, have their sins paid for, and then live a life of endurance and joy in this world. We don't want to bemoan that which has already passed. We want to embrace with both hands. God's call in our lives on the micro level is to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. This can get very overwhelming very quickly, but Jesus says this sums up everything. Love God, love people. Do those things as they become available to you, as you become aware of the possibilities, and you will be carrying out God's mission for your life. He will make it clear and available to you what it's supposed to look like. Very rarely are we called to this big macro on a stage somewhere with a microphone or a live stream that reaching millions. Most of the time, the people you're going to reach are the ones that are one to one to two to three. But if you keep reaching those people, it's going to expand and it's going to spread like wildfire. I love looking at pictures of my mom and dad when they were dating in high school. But I love even more to look at the pictures of what happened because of it. When we get together for my dad's birthday, get a picture outside, we've got my brothers and wives, and we just have one wife. Not when I say wives, it's like multi. We're not, yeah. And then kids and then grandkids. And because of their commitment to each other and they're living their life together, and then the four sons, and then they get married, and there's kids, and there's grandkids, and there's great-grandkids, the two that started out in this picture, there's now 50 or more, just because they lived faithfully loving God and loving each other. And it's a phenomenal picture. That's what God calls us to be and to do, is to love him and then to love those around us. And it spreads and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. It's not about fear, because God gives us what we need to have the strength and encouragement and power to keep going forward. I want to say thank you. And I probably will miss people in this, but I want to say thank you for those in Hillside who have helped to make the connections stay open during 2020 and beyond. The people who opened their homes for small groups or did online small groups. You know, the Emmons and the Pococks and the McConnells and the Williamses and Chris and the entire worship arts team. I think through how many countless Sundays we gathered here, and it was the 6 or 8 or 10 of us. And I could see each man and woman working as hard as they could work to present the gospel to a group of people that could not be together. And sometimes they'd get worried about, man, we had a little bit of a glitch here because we cut this part off or this happened. And there's times I'd just be moved to tears and say, every time we're looking to do something, to offer ourselves to the Lord, regardless of what it looks like, this is a sweet offering to him. It is a opportunity for him to say, have you considered the Hillside Worship Arts creative team and the work that they've done in spite of what 2020 has thrown at them, have you considered the people who continued to stretch and to give? Have you considered? And God is proud of you. You think, well, he's not proud of me because I was one of those who was just kind of scared. Guess what? God doesn't care. This whole point is not to separate the sheep and the goats, because we hate both kinds of animals inside the building. This is about recognizing wherever you happen to be or whatever you're going through, wherever you happen to be functioning, find people you can connect with to spur on towards love and good deeds, because that's what matters. And in Christ, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Anybody who's got a finger pointed at you, remind them they have three or four pointed back at them. Okay? This is not about accusation. This is about coming together. The walls between denominations and different people groups, pretty soon if they're killing all of us, hey, I like the people who stand with me in Jesus. What about, where do you stand on eschatology? It's like, come quickly, Lord. Right. By the way, happy birthday, John. It's John's birthday today, his real life birthday. He received Jesus on Easter, so it's like his second birthday next week too. So anyway, let's pray as we wrap up this joyful message today. And I actually feel so encouraged right now, because the people I identify with in Scripture are not the people who you would recognize their names. The people who I identify with in Scripture are the people who had little jobs that did their jobs and were faithful. My life verse is about a guy named Shammah. And Shammah had a field, and God told him to stand in it. And then the bad guys came to try to take the field, and everybody else ran, and Shammah stood there in his field, and they couldn't get rid of him. And it says, and then God brought a great victory. Most of the time, I, like you, am just a dude or a dudette standing in a field somewhere that God gave you. And he called you to keep standing. And no matter what comes at you, we stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fact that we don't stand on our own strength. We stand in the mighty power of our God and our Savior. I ask, Lord, that you would be the one who fills us with courage, who fills us with strength, who fills us with confidence. Lord, that you would fill our mind and heart with great ideas on how we can be a part of encouraging one another towards love and kindness and towards good deeds. May we take responsibility for our connection with you, Lord, and our connection with each other on a daily basis. And may we not grow weary, but even be more intentional about encouraging each other as the day draws near. In Jesus' name. With everybody's head still bowed, I want to give you a chance. If you've never started a relationship with Jesus, he says that anybody who would call upon his name would be saved. If we come to Jesus and acknowledge that we've done wrong and that we've had wrong done to us and that we need him to cover that over, we need him to bring forgiveness of sin, he will do that. And not because of what we would do or what we would accomplish, but because of what he has done, what he has accomplished when he died for us on the cross. If you would like to begin a relationship with Christ today, I would love to agree with you. Just would invite you to raise your hand and wave at me. Say, I want to start with Jesus today. If I miss you, wave. I don't want to miss you. Thank you, Lord. If you're at home or you're watching online or on a phone or on a screen somewhere and you want to receive Jesus, just text the church phone, 775-322-3004, and say, I'm starting with Jesus today. Lord, I pray that you would stir up your church, stir up boldness inside of us to stand where you placed us, to contend for loving you and loving each other in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a holy week. This is the week that we celebrate the death and resurrection of our Savior. I have a friend who refers to this as Super Bowl for Christians. And in some ways, it's really, there's more to it than that, but this is like the highlight of why we have life, why we have hope, why we have forgiveness. It's because Jesus paid it all for us on the cross that we could have life, and that anyone who would call upon his name will be saved. And we are missionaries, we are emissaries, we are ambassadors of that message every place we go to carry it to the people we come in contact with. Jesus is alive and he wants to bring life to us too. Right on? Let's live it, let's do it. And if you are available, please be praying for your church, pray for us, pray that God's purposes will continue to be worked, and look for opportunities to extend yourself to other people. You will find that God's going to meet you where you're at, and you're going to be doing stuff you never thought you'd be doing because you can do the stuff too. Okay. God bless you. Have a great rest of your day. Good Friday on Friday. Easter next week.
This has been a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada. You can reach us via email at web@hillside4.org. That's W-E-B @hillside4.org.